Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 674, Ellie for Counsel. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers, and wow, have we got something for you. Weavers Department Store has Mayberry Finest Gourmet Country Bacon. You may have heard of it, but hey, it's for sale over there. You can get one pack for $12 or two for $20. Head over to Weavers and check it out. While you're over there, you might want to check out the Mayberry Travel Guide from Randy Turner. Great book. Head over to Weavers and check out all that fun stuff. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. And executive producer of episode number 674 is Robbie Curley. So, Robbie, thank you for supporting the podcast, and thank you for being here with me. Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself, but I appreciate it. I am always happy to be able to get together and talk about the Andy Griffith Show. And tonight we're going to be talking about Ellie for Counsel. Oh, that's going to be our main topic. We're going to probably do a little bit of trivia, and we're definitely going to be hearing from Spirit Walker with Returning to Mayberry. So we got lots of stuff to talk about and to enjoy and have some fun with. So let's head on over, and we're going to start talking about Mayberry for Counsel. So we're going to head over to the Mayberry.info site. So let's see if we can go there. There it is. So we'll go over to the Mayberry.info website, and we, from there, we can go and look at the episode guide, and we're going to head over to Ellie for Counsel. So that's a great place. If you have never been there, Mayberry.info, it's like Wikipedia for the Andy Griffith Show that I've been running for years. And there's a couple of folks that also put in some content there. So today, just to give you guys a heads up, I was watching the episode Ellie for Counsel, and that's really kind of where this episode came from, because I just got involved in it. So you guys know all about this episode, right? So Ellie runs for counsel there in Mayberry, and, you know, it's breaking all kinds of traditions of, they've never had a woman run, and it's always been all male town council. You know, women didn't worry their pretty little heads about thinking about this stuff. The reason I wanted to talk about this is I was just kind of sitting there, and I guess being here, we are in 2022, the sensitivities that we have been given over the years of talking about things like that or saying things like that. It's when you watch this particular episode as a guy, it kind of hurts. It kind of is like, oh gosh, y'all are going to get in trouble. You're going to go to the HR personnel people. You're in trouble for saying stuff like this. Well, we got to remember this was filmed back in 1960. And if you actually watch the entire episode without getting mad at the beginning, because you're mad because the men are talking down to the women and acting like they shouldn't worry their heads, you know, that's silly and all that kind of stuff. If you get past that, you know, by the end of the episode, we actually see the men come around, right? So let's try to remember that part as we talk about the beginning, because there's a lot of fun things in this episode. There's a lot of very, I think, funny and fun things that happen in the episode Ellie for Counsel. But I can see that it's definitely something that would, I think, 100% chance would never be filmed today. Matter of fact, just talking about it at work would probably get me sent to some kind of training. I would definitely have issues. So this was the 12th episode of the Andy Griffith Show that was filmed, and it was the 10th episode that was actually aired. So it was aired a little bit out of order, and the writers were Jack Ellison and Charles Stewart. They were the fellows who were gutsy enough to write this episode. So if you'll remember, Andy, it starts off with Andy and Ellie and Aunt B and Barney and Hilda May with Opie at the somewhere having a picnic. I assume it was at Myers Lake, but they were somewhere, and I don't remember exactly where, but they were out having a picnic. And then Andy said some things about her not worrying her, Ellie not worrying her pretty little head about, you know, all that kind of stuff. That it's just silly. Well, then Ellie ends up running for counsel. You know, so they can, oh, can you believe it? Can you believe what's going on? Ellie's running for council. Barney comes in complaining about this, and he said Hilda May is going around getting, she's getting signatures for that petition, and doggone it, I was so upset I almost didn't sign. And he's like, you signed it. Well, she has her ways. She has her ways. So Hilda May has her ways that she used to get Barney to sign the petition, if you'll remember. And she said things like, let's see if I can find this. Barney, he claims she persuaded him to sign it by calling him honey, sugar, cream puff. So Barney gets manipulated by Hilda May into signing a petition because Ellie needs 100 names to be able to run for council. Now, like I said, this is from a modern day perspective. This is something that you watch. And as a, I think this is a more modern person. You watch it and you see the attitude that the men had toward the women as something's like, oh my gosh, this is not okay. Like I said, you're going to get in trouble. Why are you even doing this? But wow, it does have a lot of funny situations that this causes, right? So Andy comes in after he said some things to Ellie that it upset her. This is before Barney came back telling that she was running. But he's sitting there typing. He says, Otis, how does this sound? And he starts reading in this story about apologizing for what he said and all that stuff. And Otis is in jail. And he goes, no, Andy. Don't never apologize to a woman. If you got something to say, just stand up and fight it out. And Andy says, well, fighting is out's how you got in jail, Otis. Because he got mad at his wife. And he said, well, she started it. Well, you slung a leg of lamb at her. And he goes, but I missed her. And Andy's like, but you hit her mother. And then Otis is like, yeah, right in the mouth. He's so happy about it. Oh my gosh. I'm not advocating violence against women either. This was just a funny, you could see Otis. This goes back to the age old stories and jokes about not liking your mother-in-law. You're having problems with your mother-in-law. And Otis was playing that was definitely what this was playing. It's not really about violence about women. This is just a funny situational comedy at this point. So, but I watched this and I realized, wow, there is no way you'd be allowed to say this now. I don't know. This would be on some, I could get banned off of YouTube. This video that I'm doing now as part of this podcast might get struck from YouTube. I don't know. I hope not. But that is a funny line because immediately after that, Barney, when he comes in to tell Andy about, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. He goes, you're not going to believe it, Andy. You're not going to, oh, hey, Otis. Oh, I just saw your mother-in-law coming out of the dentist office. It's right after this. Oh, gosh. Anyway, the episode goes along. And as you know, you've seen this. Andy, because they do get 100 names. They do get 100 names signed up on this. And Barney says, yeah, who would have thought that they'd get 100 names? And Andy looks at Barney. He's like, yeah. Who'd have thought it? They didn't get 99. They got 100. You know, and he says, who would have thought that one last signature would be enough? And Barney says, oh, Andy, I wasn't the last one. I was the very first. You know, that whole thing. He was the very first person to sign the petition. And all the men were calling him turncoat and all that kind of stuff, you know, because there he is, a weak-kneed, lily-livered turncoat that had signed a petition, you know. That's so, speaking of that, the character on there that said that is named Sam, right? So it's Sam. So like I said, it's the 12th episode filmed. Well, in the first episode of the Andy Griffith Show, when Aunt Bee came to town, his name was Wilbur, and he married Rose, right? Rose, the housekeeper. You know, I knew this, I'm sure, at some point, but it didn't really hit me until today, because his name was Sam, not Wilbur. But Rose, the same lady, Mary Treen, I think is the way you say her name, she was in this episode as Sam's wife. It doesn't ever give a name. She never is called out as a name. But basically, that was Wilbur and Rose, Rose Opie's previous housekeeper lady that took care of him, like Aunt Bee does. So they're on this episode together as a husband and a wife, but they're not the same people they were just 12 episodes ago. 10 episodes aired. So it was because this aired as the 10th episode. So from episode 1 to episode 10, their names changed. So maybe they were in a witness protection program. I don't know, but their names changed. But Sam, yeah, it was who it was, was the name instead of Wilbur. Anyway, that was interesting to me. I never noticed it. You guys may not have noticed that either. I had noticed it, I'm sure, because when I started looking at the Mayberry.info website about this, as I scrolled along, there is information on there about odd facts known by few. And it tells you in there, it says actress Mary Treen also portrayed the part of Rose, the Taylor's original housekeeper, on the first episode of the Andy Griffith Show, The News Housekeeper. So there it is. So obviously at some point I did know that. And also in this episode, we see the same actor. His name's Forrest Lewis, who played Cy Huggins, the owner of Jimmy, the Loaded Goat. He's in this episode. So he's in this episode as a different character. He's not the same character that owned the Loaded Goat. So anyway, there's things like that that you'll spot. And especially in these early episodes, they were just getting the show really rolling. And it was so fun. So anyway, as they went along, Ellie had got enough names, and the men are like, hey, you know, we control the purse strings is what they said. And so they went around and cut off the credit for their wives at the different stores throughout the town of Mayberry. And of course, then it became a civil war with the women not cooking for the men. The men are having to cook for themselves. And obviously, Sam was actually darning his own socks and sticking his stuff in the finger with the needle as he tried to do this. And his wife just sat there smiling. And, so there was a war of the sexes going on there, because it was like the men were acting like, oh yeah, well, we'll control these women. And the women were like, well, let's see how these men can do without any assistance from us. And it was obvious, by watching the episode, that the men were not going to make it. They're not going to make it, because Andy was trying to cook for Opie and he was burning all the eggs. and Opie said he couldn't tell what they were because they were all black. He said, they're not that black. They're just well done. And he said, and Opie said, like the well done rice we had yesterday or something like that. Anyway. So, and then what really turns the tide of the whole thing, and I don't think I have that quote, but Ellie comes in because she's like, I didn't mean to start a civil war. That was not my intent. And so she comes in and says she's going to withdraw her name from the ballot. She's going to just quit. Her intention was never to start a civil war in Mayberry. She loves it town too much is what she said. And on hearing that, Opie makes some anti-women remarks that he had overheard since Ellie had been running for council. And he tells Andy how that the men beat these women, you know, and these comments make Andy really realize what he's been doing and what he's been saying. And the way a young person, Opie, was hearing this stuff, that the men were talking about the women, that they shouldn't do this, you know, we control. And it was a men versus women. And in the end, to the credit of all, Andy runs down Ellie as she's leaving the house and goes down to the rally that they were having for Miss Ellie. And he gets up there and says he had heard Opie say these things, and he was just embarrassed about it. You know, and there was the only reason that people were upset that Ellie was running for council was because she was a woman. If you tried to think of any other reason, there wasn't one. She's a very capable lady. And Andy got up and said that. And, you know, this is 1960, right? When we're saying this. So at that time, there was still, I think more so than there really is today, there was that battle of the sexist and that were going on, the trying to get equality for women. And this episode was filmed, like I said, in 1960, but it's actually, as mad as people probably get about the way the men were acting about the women, for its time, it was a refreshing example of a fight for equality, right? It was rare on television in 1960. Can you name another show that was on at that time that you've watched reruns of that actually dealt with that at all? And truthfully, thinking about that, you know, I never had. So I've always been a little, well, not always, but since in my adult life, I have been a little, this episode's always like, I can't really laugh too much at it. I'm getting in trouble. You know, this is not right. You know, they just taught us so much at work. We go to all this training, sensitivity training and equality and diversity and all that. And it almost sadly makes it hard to just enjoy this as an episode that has funny things that happened. And in the end, it taught the right story. It taught the right thing that when the only reason they were against Ellie was because she was a lady, not because she wasn't capable of being a town council person. And, you know, she ended up winning because later we see her in the town council meetings, right? Anyway, so I just wanted to say that and get that back out in the open and just enjoy this episode because it's really fun. We've got a lot of times we have Peter, Miss Ellie's son, her real son, here in the room with us on Monday nights. I was hoping he might be here tonight. I didn't see him earlier in the chat room. But, you know, I think this is it's a really good episode of The Andy Griffith Show. And it did deal with a social, societal issue in a humorous way. But it did actually, in the end, show that the men really were wrong and should be accepting of Ellie running for council. So I think for the 1960s, the time this was done, I think this was a pretty, pretty cool thing. So, all right. So let's see here. We are going to play a little bit of trivia. How about that? You guys want to play some trivia? We're going to do something a little different tonight with our trivia. So let me get the background music for trivia going. There it is. So, as a special feature, because I want to help advertise this a little bit, this is the Mayberry magazine I have in my hand. You can hear it there. It's a Mayberry magazine. It's the winter issue. This is something they put out from the Mount Airy News. They published this, and you can get a subscription to it, and it's just filled with all kinds of little things about the town of Mount Airy, along with a whole bunch of Mayberry type stuff. And one of the things they have in here are six questions that are trivia questions. So if you didn't get this yet, I'm fixing to read these to you. But I want to encourage you, if you get an opportunity, to reach out and get a subscription to this. You can contact the Mount Airy News. If you call them, they will be able to help direct you to the right person to be able to get an issue. This particular one is a commemorative issue remembering Betty Lynn. So this is a kind of a special issue, a great story about Betty in this issue that I think you'd really enjoy. But you can definitely reach out to the newspaper. The phone number is that you can call is 336 786 4141. If you call them, they will probably be able to help you subscribe and get issues of the Mayberry Magazine delivered to you. So this is the winter 2022 issue. So let's do some trivia questions. So get out your pencil and paper. These are kind of fun, I hope. So question number one, here we go. Opie once reported to Andy that he had a new friend that no one else can see, who walks around among the tree branches and wears a silver hat and jingles when he walks. Then Opie shows up with a quarter that he claims was given to him by his new friend. Andy is worried that Opie may have swiped the quarter, and Opie is close to being punished when something saves him. What is this? So I'm not sure the answer is going to be easy on this. So what is this? What did he get? He almost got punished, but he didn't. Something saved him. Well, here's the answer. You can think what your answer might be, but here's what they give the answer is. Andy discovers Opie's new friend, Mr. McBeebe, is real, though he's not quite as fantastical as Opie described. He's a telephone line man working high up in the trees and in utility poles, wearing a silver hat. He does jingle because of the equipment he wears, and he did, in fact, give Opie a quarter. So that is true. He did find out about Mr. McBeebe, but I will tell you that trivia question is a little misleading because, really, Opie was close to being punished when something saved him, and what that was really just Andy believing in him. That's the actual answer. Andy did believe in him, and then he went and met Mr. McBeebe because he was still upset about Opie, and he went off into the woods and was out there, Mr. McBeebe. And he goes, yo, did somebody call my name? And he comes down out of the trees. So it was really Andy's belief in Opie would be the right answer. So if that's what you said, I think that is the correct answer to this. So let's go to number two. Question number two. While Mayberry was a quiet little town off the beaten path, it did occasionally attract folks from around the world. One such traveler ended up working for Andy and Opie while Aunt Bee was out of town. Who was he, and why did he work for Andy and Opie? Okay, so you can pause and think about it, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer. The answer is, the fella's name was Malcolm Merriweather, and he was played by Bernard Fox. While visiting America, the Englishman rides into Mayberry on his bicycle, accidentally causing an accident. He has no money to pay for his fine, so Andy allows Malcolm to work as his valet for the week. In this episode of it's called Andy's Valet. So that's where it came from. All right, number three. There's six questions. What high school did Sheriff Andy Taylor attend, and what year did he graduate? Ooh, that's a little harder. So the high school is pretty easy. What high school did Andy Taylor attend, and what year did he graduate? Well, here comes the answer. You can pause if you'd like to wait. The answer is Andy, along with Barney, attended Mayberry Union High. There's some confusion over the year they actually graduated. We learn he graduated in 1945 in the episode Class Reunion, when Andy's old high school flame, Sharon Despain, returns to Mayberry for their high school reunion. However, in the episode Return of Barney Fife, it's a color episode, we're told he graduated in 1948. Sometimes the writers on the Andy Griffith Show forgot facts and the continuity didn't stay straight. And even character names, they sometimes use different names for different seasons. But so there's two different years you could have given, 1945 or 1948, because it's two different episodes. So if we go by the black and white years, it was 1945. The color years, it was 1948. All right, number four. What is the first episode featuring Thelma Lou? That's a good one. What is the first episode that features Thelma Lou? I don't know the answer. Let's see what it is. So this is question four. The episode is called Cyrano Andy. It revolves around Andy's attempts to help Barney win the heart of his girlfriend, Thelma Lou. Unfortunately, things quickly go awry when Barney misinterprets some of Andy's actions, thinking Andy is trying to make a move on Thelma Lou. So that was the episode. It was Cyrano Andy. Okay. Number five, there's two more questions, five and six. There seems to be a bit of synergy between, oh, this is interesting. This is number five. There seems to be a bit of synergy between Sheriff Andy Taylor and, of all people, Batman. No, Batman never appeared on the Andy Griffith Show, but there are a few connections between the two. In one episode of the 1960s Batman series, one of the scenes takes place on the set of Mayberry. The second connection is this. A famous actor appeared in one episode of the Andy Griffith Show. So this is the trivia question. A famous actor appeared on one episode of the Andy Griffith Show and then made a co-starring appearance in the 1989 film Batman. Who was he and what episode was he in? All right. So the answer to this is, who was he? He was Jack Nicholson. He played the Joker in the 1989 Batman movie and was on trial during the episode called Aunt Bee the Juror. In that episode, it turns out he was innocent, and Aunt Bee was the only one of the jury who believed him, refusing to convict him. Now, he was in that episode, and it doesn't tell this in the magazine, but he was also in the episode where Opie and Arnold find a baby outside the courthouse steps. He was the father of that baby. So he's actually in two episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. There you go. What you learn things on this podcast. And of course, another connection between Andy and Batman, Spirit Walker gave us a few weeks ago. So you go back and watch that episode and you'll see the connection between Batman and Andy Griffith Show is even more strong than that. All right, so let's go into the last question. In one particular episode of the Andy Griffith Show, two characters, Gomer Pyle and Leon, make their first appearance. You know, I never did know this. This is new. They made their first appearance in the series. What episode was that? And what was each of them doing when we first saw them? Okay, so I know which episode that Gomer first appeared in. I just never really connected that it was also Leon's first episode. Or if I did, I'd have forgotten it. So here's the answer. The episode was The Bank Job. The Bank Job. Our first glimpse of little Leon, played by Clint Howard, was of him dressed as a cowboy while eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And Gomer, played by Jim Nabors, was using the acetylene torch to try to cut open the bank vault. Not to steal anything, but to set Barney free because, you know, he got locked inside and, you know, he ended up when he was dressed up as a cleaning lady. So anyway, Barney finally got out, and that's Leon and Gomer both appeared on that episode. The more you know. So I hope you enjoyed those. Those are a kind of different kind of trivia that we played tonight, but I hope you enjoyed them. And here comes to wrap up the show. Before I wrap us up and give you some information about upcoming events over the next few days, let's go and hear Returning to Mayberry with Spirit Walker.
Won't you turn on the Andy Griffith Show? Forget all your cares and woes. Sit back, relax, and laugh with friendly folks you know. Take up your fishing pole.
Welcome to Returning to Mayberry with special correspondent Spirit Walker from the Andy Griffith Show Esquire Club.
Thanks, Randy. Hello, Mayberry Spirit Watchers. Welcome to the Esquire Club. I've just been enjoying my latest issue of the Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors Magazine. And if you don't have your issue, I encourage you to go to MayberryBooks.com, click on the Ambassadors Program, and sign up, because you need to get one of these every quarter like I do. They're good. Here at the Esquire Club, we've been conducting an experiment called Returning to Mayberry, where we take a person, place, or thing from Mayberry, and we take it outside of Mayberry, connect it to something else, and continue the connections around until something returns to Mayberry. We believe we can do that in 6 degrees or less. We then take that returning thing, connect it to something else, and continue the cycle ad infinitum. Now, the last segment, I used the Mayberry Man cards to predict who I was going to connect to from the movie this week. And the person we chose at random was our very own Alan Newsome. So we're going to connect to Alan Newsome in this segment, but first we're going to talk about what returned to Mayberry this segment. So we'll just kind of set Alan aside and we'll get back to him a little bit later. Right now we have to talk about the last thing that returned to Mayberry, and that was the Rimshaw place. You remember the old haunted house in the Andy Griffith episode, The Haunted House. We're going to start with the Rimshaw place, and we're going to eventually get back, to Alan Newsome. What became the Rimshaw place in the Haunted House episode of season 4 previously served as Clara Johnson's residence in the Barney's Replacement episode in season 2. Also served as Mayor Stoner's residence in the Bedjacket episode in season 3, and it would later become Mrs. Wiley's house in My Fair Ernest T. Bass in season 4, and the home of Reverend Martin in Opie's Newspaper in season 5. The house was only a facade. It only had 3 walls and it was held up by scaffolding. It had no interior. Most of the buildings on the Desilu 40-acre lot were merely facades, except for the church and the central building that housed a diner in the 3rd episode of Season 1 and Walker's Drugs throughout the rest of Season 1, and later, Franklin Pharmacy. Train noticers will recognize that the Rimshaw house was, in fact, right next door to Andy's house. In the long shot, you can clearly see Andy's garage right next door. During production, Andy's house was designated as house facade number 4. The exterior shots were filmed on the back lot in Culver City, California, and all but a few of the interior shots were filmed at Desilu Kahenga Studios in Hollywood on sound stages 1 and 2. That means that walking through Andy's front door was like walking through a transport portal, transporting you to a different place and time, literally. See, usually all the exterior shots were filmed on Mondays, weather permitting, and all the interior shots were filmed on Tuesdays. So let's use Andy's house as our link out of Mayberry. We've all dreamed of walking into Andy's living room, haven't we? I remember I visited the Ponderosa Ranch where they filmed the TV show Bonanza. This was back in the early 2000s. And I remember standing in the Cartwrights' living room, just looking around at the massive fireplace in front of me and Ben's office behind me, Hoss and Little Joe's hats on the hat rack, the long table to the left, the staircase to the right. It was like going back in time and being a kid again. It was like being on the show. I can only imagine what it would be like to stand in Andy's living room. But in 2002, 2 avid Tags fans, Dave and Marcia Shireman, decided to make that a reality. And so they began to build a replica of the Taylor House on 6 acres of land. And they turned it into a bed and breakfast called the Taylor Home Inn. Now, how do I know this? Because I listened to episodes 40 through 43 of Two Chairs, No Waiting, and heard Alan interview those 2 people. And it was amazing. The details they went to were incredible. Now, I also watched episodes 165 and 166, and you should too, because you'll see Alan actually visit the Taylor Home Inn. I told you I was going to connect to Alan in some way. Now, not much is known about Alan Newsome, other than, let's see, he seems to run a podcast called Two Chairs No Wedding. He's been doing that since 2008. He was one of the featured actors in the movie Mayberry Man. And he seems to be a tribute artist for Floyd the Barber at Mayberry events all across the country. But other than that, he keeps a pretty low profile. He is rumored to be much older than his lovely wife, Jan, who runs Weaver'sDepartmentStore.com. If you really want to see more and hear more details about this incredible bed and breakfast, the Taylor Home Inn, watch episodes 165 and 166 of Two Chairs, No Waiting. The details are simply amazing. Besides seeing Andy's living room and kitchen, you can sleep in one of three bedrooms, Andy's room, Aunt Bee's room, or Opie's room. You can even visit the courthouse, the interior of which is in the basement, accessed through the closet in the living room. As an extra bonus, the rear exterior of the house and garage is a replica of Wally's filling station. Alan was gracious enough to allow the use of pictures from his visit to the Taylor Home Inn on my segment. See, he sat on Andy's porch, he sat on Andy's couch, he talked to Sarah on the courthouse phone, he was deputized and still got locked up in jail, and then he walked to Wally's for a bottle of pop. All in a day's work for the Mayberry Man. You know, linking to Alan Newsom from Mayberry was not very difficult, but now I have to get back to Mayberry from Alan. But I'm talking about a man who knows virtually every person alive from the show, so that's not going to be very hard either. I mean, I'm talking about a man who has interviewed George Lindsay in George Lindsay's house. I'm talking about a man who saved Howard Morris, Ernest T. Bass, from serious injury when he almost fell in a performance off the stage. I'm talking about a man who has actually touched Barney's salt and pepper suit, the one he wore on the show, and Don Knotts was wearing it. This is Mr. Mayberry Man himself. But I have to choose one celebrity to link to him, so I choose the sweetheart of Mayberry, Betty Lynn. Betty Lynn, as you all know, played the lovable Thelma Lou in 26 episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. You'll hear more about her in the next segment. So the circle is complete. From the Rimshaw Place to Andy's house, from Andy's house to the Taylor Home Inn, from the inn to Alan Newsom, from Alan to Betty Lynn, and back to Mayberry as Thelma Lou, proving once again that everything returns to Mayberry. So there you have it. From the heart of Mayberry to the heart of Mayberry, everything returns to Mayberry. If you have something that you'd like me to connect to, drop me a line at the Andy Griffith Show Esquire Club, and I'll see what I can do. Until next time, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. It's so fine to spend some time with all these dear old friends of mine. Have a bottle of pop. Come on, let's watch the Andy Griffith Show. I thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That was amazing. I didn't expect to myself be in there that much. Hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on what he's doing, Spirit Walker has a Facebook group. It's at facebook.com/group/The Andy Griffith Show, T-A-G-S Esquire Club. It's just T-A-G-S Esquire Club. It's on Facebook. So go and check that out. So thanks for doing that. That was a lot of fun. And what a trip that was to the Taylor Home Inn. A quick correction. Leon's first appearance on the Andy Griffith Show, they're wrong in the Mayberry magazine. Mike in the chat room actually pointed out that it was the episode The Jinx, which was almost a year before the episode that they listed. It was a different season even. So the Leon actually appeared before Gomer. So there you go. So thank you, Mike. And thank you, Randy Turner, who's actually also sent me a message pointing out that I think they got that wrong. And I was like, yeah, I think I've already figured that out. They got that wrong because he was in the Jinx, he was in the episode with Gomer, his first appearance, but it was not his first appearance. So there you go. So thanks for doing that. Go back to the Taylor Home Inn. You can go to taylorhomeinn.com and you can go and book a stay at the Taylor Home Inn. I do encourage you to go and check out the episodes, number 165 and 166 of Two Chairs, No Waiting, because we actually, I got to interview Marsha. I do encourage you to watch the video version of that, which I just did because the Spirit Walker asked me questions about the trip. This was recorded back in 2011. So 11 years ago, almost 11 years ago, and on the Mayberry cruise, and there's pictures of me actually being there at the Taylor Home Inn, the pictures of the Taylor Home Inn. I definitely encourage you to go and check it out. You can go to their website as well if you'd like to travel there. It's up in Wisconsin. The Taylor Home Inn is still operational, and you can go there and stay in Andy's room or wherever. And the place it really is amazing. When you walk in the door, you don't want to walk on in because this is Andy's house. I'm not supposed to be here. It really is a pretty amazing place to visit and just take pictures of yourself. There's a Wally service station in the back. There's even a golf, a hole of golf. You can go and putt and chip. It's there. There's a courthouse in the basement. So when you go there, the closet that's just inside the door where Barney was hanging himself, you can ask them, you can go in there. That's their office, and there's stairs that go downstairs to their basement area. That is the courthouse. So you can get to see all that stuff. So go and check it out. Taylor Home Inn. It's Taylor Home inn.com, and you can check it out. If you go there, make sure you tell them Floyd sent you. So, all right, guys, that is all I have that was really planned, but we have a few other things I want to mention because we have events that are coming up in the next, several days here. If you're in the North Alabama area, we're going to be at the George Lindsay UNA Film Festival on Friday, March the 3rd. Is that the right day? March the 4th, 2022. We're going to be having a showing of the Mayberry Man movie in the Maine. It's the mascot for UNA, the University of North Alabama, is a lion. His name's Leo. So it's the Maine, like M-A-N-E. It's like the mane of a lion. The Maine room. They're going to be there, and we're going to have the Baraka Valley Bluegrass Band will be there with us. And also several tribute artists are planning to attend. I've heard that the art director for the movie is going to be there. I hope she and her daughter are able to make it. And we're just going to have a good time. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to start at 6:30. The movie starts at 7:30. There's going to be a meet and greet and questions and everything after the movie. So come on out to the George Lindsay UNA Film Festival. It should be a lot of fun. And if you can't make it there, we're going to be over in it's Gallatin, Tennessee is where we're going to be. On Sunday at 2 p.m., I do believe is the right time. I'm looking, trying to make sure I get this right. Then you can come and watch Mayberry Man movie there as well. It's March the 6th, that Sunday. I'm trying to see the time. Yep, 2 p.m. Central Time over in Gallatin, Tennessee. It's just around Nashville. It's just to the northeast side of Nashville. So if you're going to be in that area, come see us. Rick Roberts will be there, Baraka Valley. And again, a whole bunch of tribute artists is going to be over there just that were in the movie. And we'll show the movie and do a Q&A after the movie there as well. So it should be a lot of fun. Please try to make plans to come and see us. Now there's other things going on in the near future, and head over to the event calendar at imayberry.com. and you'll be able to see all the different Mayberry events that are coming up. And so you can make your plans. We got the Mayberry meetup coming up in July. That is the, and before that, I'll tell you this, make plans for this. This ought to be a lot of fun too. I mentioned it before. Keith Thibodeau, Johnny Paul Jason from the Andy Griffith Show, Opie's buddy. He also is Little Ricky on I Love Lucy. He's going to be over on April the 8th and 9th. He's going to be in Granville, Tennessee for the Mayberry I Love Lucy Day. And a whole bunch of tribute artists will be at that too. It'll be myself. Barney will be there. Otis, Andalina, Briscoe, and maybe some others I'm not remembering. And if I'm forgetting one of you guys, I'm sorry. But they'll be there. There's a Lucy and a Desi tribute artist as well that will be there. And we're all going to be having a lot of fun. They're going to be performing a play on Friday and Saturday that is dedicated to Betty Lynn. And the play is basically they do an episode of the Andy Griffith Show as a play. So it's a lot of fun. I've been before. You can go to Granville, Granvilleten, Tennessee.com and get more information. So there you go. So that gives you a little bit up to date. Go and check out the event calendar for more information on all these kinds of events. I know you don't want to miss them. All right. So folks, I want to thank you for being here with me. Last week's episode was the longest episode that we had ever done in the history of the podcast. It was almost an hour. It was 58 minutes and 55 seconds long. But it has been one of the most well-received episodes. I want to thank Leonard Blush for being on there with me. He did a great job last week. Just thank you, Phil, for being there with me. Go and check out last week's episode if you didn't get to check it out yet. I think you'll really enjoy it because you'll get a lot of history about the Mayberry Trading Post in Mayberry, Virginia. So, folks, until next time, I hope you have a great week here in Mayberry. Give me a call at 888-684-8415 or just email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, have a great week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs.